Okay, we're live.
Good morning, all. Good morning. And anybody online that's joining us this morning, it's definitely a pleasure to be here, you know, discussing the Lord's work. And these parables are, and I hope you're finding them interesting, you know, that you really have to dig. You know, you have to dig, you know. And but it's exciting, though, you know, to open up what God himself said to us. Jesus, God. So let's start off with a word of prayer, and then today's lesson involves one verse. Okay. Yeah, remember Carl challenged me? He says, can you do a lesson on one verse, right? And he's not here. I don't think he has a smartphone or anything, does he? Nah, okay.
Didn't he get operated on yet?
He did, yeah, and he's home and he's recovering. Yep, and from what I hear, he's doing pretty well. Yep, thank God. All right, so let's pray. Father God, once again, and it was such joy that we can gather here together in your name. And your word says that when two or three are gathered together, you are there with us also. We know that you are right here in our presence. And we pray that everything that's said and done uplifts your name. Mighty God, creator and maker of the heavens and the earth, whose very will holds it all together. And we just thank you that we could come in your presence, and that we thank you for creating a relationship between you and us. So, Lord, we pray for your blessings now upon this lesson, that only truth would go forth, and that it would find a place in each one of our hearts. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And we are going to look at verse 33. Matthew 13, 33. We're going to find out how many bakers we have in the room this morning. Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We there?
Cook.
What's that?
That's it. Yeah, me too.
Okay, here we go. 33.
Cute.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That was deep.
Yeah. So we might not have bakers, but we have a cook.
We got a cook. Okay. All right. Here we go, guys. Here we go. 33. Another parable spoke he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Wow. So a parable is supposed to be an earthly truth that conveys a spiritual message. And here we are talking about leaven. Okay? Now, for the bakers in the room, what is leaven?
Yeast.
Okay.
Baking soda. Baking powder.
Yeah, baking powder.
Okay.
And
a bit of salt.
Xavier gum. That's a type of leavening too.
Okay.
I learned that because I have to be
a rising agent.
Yeah.
That's okay. Do you know what family group it fits into? What is a yeast?
It's called yeast.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about leaven, but people came back and says that's like yeast. But what is that? I mean, what?
Mold?
No, that would be the main thing. That would be the main thing to build, to bake.
Right, it is. It's what makes it expand, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but what is it exactly?
It's a chemical.
Ah, okay. See, to understand this parable, you really have to understand what leaven is, okay? So this might knock your socks off, okay? Let me give you the definition here, okay?
Yeah.
And remember, you're eating this stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, you're eating it. Okay, now here's the official definition. A microscopic, fungus consisting of a single cell, oval cell, that can reproduce by budding. That means that the cell, a piece of it starts expanding off until it gets almost the same size as the original cell, and then it cuts it off, and now you have two cells, okay? It's asexual, in other words. And are capable of converting sugar into alcohol and carbon dioxide. So it's a fungus among us. Now, the most common form of yeast, which this verse is talking about here, is, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, it's S. cerevisiae. That's C-E-R-E-V-S-I-A-E. Nope. Nobody heard of that? Okay. Which is used as a rising agent. Now, you all talked about that. When it converts sugars present in the dough into carbon dioxide.
Yeah. That's why you have to put sugar when you're baking yeast bread. You have to add sugar.
Yeah. And what happens is as the fungus starts digesting the sugar, it creates carbon dioxide and it makes a little bubble. Okay, and because the dough has a heavy consistency, it doesn't just shoot off into the air. It makes it, the dough start to go, starts to expand. Is that incredible? And you also have fungus in your digestive system. Oh my gosh, what did I just say? You have bacteria down there and you have fungus. Isn't God's creation amazing?
Phenomenal.
I mean, it's incredible how all these pieces came together. We need it to live. We need it to live, and it lives off of us, you know? Microscopic organisms, you know, have filled your body. Now, this, it's also used in winemaking. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's used in winemaking. And it does basically the same thing there. It converts the sugar in the grape juice into alcohol and carbon dioxide, okay? And over the years, you know, man, in his wisdom, has found ways to really refine the winemaking process. As a matter of fact, if you take grape juice, you basically can't stop it from becoming some form of wine. You can't. Well, no, with alcohol content I'm talking about. Because on the surface of the grape, there is this fungus that we're talking about here, the same fungus that you basically use in bread. It's on the skins. So if you go crunching it, if you, you know, you see pictures of them walking around bare feet crunching it, you're getting that fungus into the mix. And it will start to convert, you know, it into a primitive form of wine. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until 1869, I think it was, that Welch's company came up with a way to stop that process from occurring. Okay? And what they did is they used pasteurization to kill the fungus so it didn't convert the sugar into alcohol and carbon dioxide.
Tradition says it happened in Vineland.
Yeah.
That is correct. Yes, he was a Vinelander. Yeah, he was a Vinelander. As a matter of fact, he went to the 7th Street Methodist Church over there on Landis Avenue.
He was a dentist.
He was a what?
Dentist.
Dentist, okay, I didn't realize that.
But a devout Methodist.
Yes, he was. He was a very devout Methodist.
Wanted to participate in communion.
Without an alcoholic beverage.
Right.
Yep, so that's when he came up with his brilliant idea to apply pasteurization process to grape juice, thereby killing the fungus that was doing the conversion process.
So he took the bacteria and the fungus out of the tea?
I guess so.
He wanted to take it out of, when do communion,
he
wanted to make sure that what you were drinking had
right,
no alcohol in it.
Rot your teeth.
Yeah, it didn't rot your teeth. There you go.
Yeah,
or cause other problems.
My dentist didn't get that memo.
Now let's start breaking this down. Now that we're all experts in what yeast is that Jesus is talking about here.
Also, this one to go into the same one with the wineskins too.
Right, because the wineskins would expand, and if it was an old wineskin, it would break.
Right,
and that was the carbon dioxide that was coming off the process. Right, it was making the wineskin expand. So you're right. Good pickup. So now, you have to really understand what we just talked about to really understand what this parable is talking about. So let's apply it now. Let's dig into it. So now, in the parable of the weeds and the wheat, remember the tares among the wheat we talked about? That was in Matthew 24 to 30. That raised the question about the degree that Satan could interfere with the kingdom of God. And remember, this was new information to the Jews, you know, because they were looking for an earthly kingdom where God himself was going to be sitting on the throne of David and ruling with an iron rod, and it was going to be no sin during that period of time. It was going to be a peace of tranquility and holiness. So it was new to them that this spiritual kingdom that's coming is going to have sin in it, okay? And the enemy, Satan, was going to be active in this new form of the kingdom, which we are today. Now, in the parable of the mustard seed, He talked about how the kingdom was going to expand and it couldn't be stopped. Satan could not stop it. Despite the fact that he was going to be active, it was still going to expand. That tiny little mustard seed was going to grow into a kingdom. Okay, so now he's going to start elaborating on that here. And I'm pretty sure, in order to understand this, you need to understand what yeast does, which we just did. So I think this is talking about a positive thing. Now, there are other interpretations out there that think this parable is talking about a negative aspect, and we'll talk about this a little bit. I think it's a very positive aspect, this parable. Okay, let's keep going. Now, bread was a food staple in the diet of the people in the day of Jesus. It was one of their main sources of nourishment. So they would have been very familiar with the effects of yeast on bacon bread and would have been more familiar with this parable than we are today. Because I don't think there's anyone in this room that every day goes home and starts baking bread with yeast so that we can eat it and feed their family at the end of the day, right? Is there anybody here that does that every day? Okay, all right. Now, in that period of time and that place in the world, every day the housewife would grind wheat into flour, every day. Then she would mix it with a portion of the dough that was retained from the previous day, which included yeast. So she would have saved some of the dough from the prior day, she would have kept it separate, and she would have now mixed that with the new mix. The mixture would then be set aside so that the yeast, that fungus among us, would get into that lump of dough from in the previous day, and it would start expanding, and it would start doing its work, and it would cause the new dough to rise and to be ready to be baked in the oven, all right? And one of the key takeaways is here is that you can't stop it once it starts. You can't stop it. Once that yeast has gone into action, you can't stop it, okay? You mix it in with your dough, you might as well just stand back and let it happen, okay? You get it in your grape juice, it's going to start changing it. Stand back and watch it, okay? So that's one of the things that he's trying to make a point here. So now the subject of yeast was introduced in Scripture way back in Exodus chapter 12. Okay, that's where it was introduced, where the Israelites were told to leave all yeast behind when they left the land of bondage. Yeast represented at that time continuity with the past. When some unbaked dough was ready for the oven, the housewife, like I said, would set aside a portion to be used as yeast for the next day. And this was done day by day, over and over again, so that the yeast provided an unbroken connection with the past. And this was extremely important to the Jews at the time. Okay? It was an unbroken connection. Like the yeast they were using, they could actually say, my grandfather, our grandmother's 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 used that same yeast. That's how important it was to them. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they were told to leave all their yeast behind because they were supposed to make a complete break with their previous servitude and were to enter an entirely new life focused on God. Okay, it wasn't that the yeast was evil. Yeast isn't evil. Okay, it was symbolic of their old way of thinking. They were told to leave it behind because now God was taking them out of Egypt and moving forward. Okay, and this is also interesting. The really devout Jews at the time not only would pass the yeast from generation to generation like that, okay, they also would keep their fire burning the same way. You realize that? Once they lit a fire, they would keep that same fire going, and they could actually say that that fire was the same one their grandparents used. That's how focused they were on things like genealogy and stuff. And that's why they were thrown such a curve when the Romans came and burned down the synagogue, which had all their genealogical records in it. Okay, that was devastating to them. And once again, that happened as a picture because now there was a new kingdom coming on the world the spiritual kingdom, which we are in now, and God himself was eliminating the old. Okay, because they were so tied into this genealogical, you know, nationalistic, you know, life that they carried on. Now, so where are we going now? So Christ, when he talked about the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened, okay? That's what that's referring to when it says she took it and hid it. It's referring to her taking a piece of the dough that had leaven in it and keeping it to use the next day. That's what the reference is here. And by saying that the kingdom of heaven is like in that, just like you can't stop the yeast from raising the bread, guess what, folks? You cannot stop the kingdom of heaven from spreading. Sorry.
Amen.
The leaven, it's a picture of God working in this world. You cannot stop God from executing his plan. Despite Satan's best efforts and mankind's best efforts, it is going to happen. People are going to get saved. The kingdom is going to be fulfilled. It's going to grow. And it cannot be saved. And I think that's one of the main things about this parable. Like I said, you got to understand how leaven works. And once you understand how leaven works, then now you can apply it to the kingdom, spreading, and it's unstoppable. You know, once you started that leaven working in that bread, Satan can't stop that or reverse that process. No way.
I know with the fire and stuff, my grandmother cooked on a wood cook stove until she died, and she always kept that fire so that she would not have to build the fire in the morning.
Really?
To bake the cornbread and biscuits.
Okay, so she kept it going too.
She kept it going too, because then she wouldn't have to build the fire to be able to do any cooking.
How about that?
Because she cooked on a wood cook stove all her, as long as I knew her.
Wow. Boy, so she was like an example of this, right?
Right.
Keeping the fire going, keeping the leaven, to use it the next day. Isn't that something? Interesting. Very interesting. So I think, therefore, you know, if you look at what leaven is and you refer to the kingdom, he was not using yeast in this parable to teach that the kingdom was subject to corruption. I don't believe that's what he was saying here. But on the way that yeast works once it's introduced into the mixture, I think that's the focus that you need to take on this. So when the housewife introduced yeast into the mixture, she starts a process that is entirely irreversible and will continue to work pervasively, persistently, and unseen until the entire mixture is ready for the oven. There's no way to stop it. And Christ was teaching that when the new spiritual kingdom begins, it will do the same thing. It will grow persistently, pervasively, and irreversibly. That, I think, is the connection here. And that this, I believe, is a follow-on to the parable, you know, of the mustard seed. Because he was saying, you know, just like that tiny little start of the kingdom, it's going to grow, okay? And here he's saying, not only is it going to grow, it can't be stopped. Go ahead and try to stop it. I know the Romans tried, didn't they?
People are still trying to stop it.
And they still are. But what usually happens? The more people try to stop it, the more it grows. Isn't that incredible? It's incredible. Because when the Romans tried, I'll get you to, when the Romans tried to stop it, what happened was the church actually started experiencing more growth than ever. Really. You know, it caused all sorts of problems in the church, though. But, you know, because like, what did church leadership, what did they do if some of your congregation, rather than staying and dying for the Romans, took off and ran? And after the Romans were done killing people and they came back, would you take them back in the congregation? People create all sorts of their own problems. But anyway, you two guys, Valerie, why don't we start with you?
I was going to add that you could probably argue that it grows exponentially as well.
Ah.
If you want
to think you're right.
To your list.
Add it.
Because if I'm understanding the analogy, no matter how much flour you add to it, the yeast is going to mix with all of it eventually.
That's right.
So it will continue to grow.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay.
I think you're reading it. I think that's what Christ's intention was here when he spoke these words.
Right.
You know? Emma, do you have something to add?
Yeah, I was eating strawberries last night. Over strawberry shortcake, yeah, and I was thinking of the mustard seeds.
Wow.
Strawberries has a lot of seeds. I filled those babies up, put whipped cream on it, and I was eating it, and I'm like, man. Sorry, I'm making everybody hungry, but.
Well, at least the strawberries got you back to thinking spiritually,
yeah.
Right? It was a long, it took a long way to get there, but.
No.
Well, from strawberry to mustard seed to.
Yeah, they're related.
Well, at least you didn't think you're going to turn into a giant strawberry tree.
Mustard.
All right, but it sounds like you guys are on to what I think Jesus was trying to say here.
Yes. We're paying attention.
Yep, you definitely are. Let's see, where was I here? Okay, now Christ was saying that in this new kingdom of which we are members of right now, then that's the next dispensation from where they were. Remember, he was in the old dispensation. He wasn't in the dispensation of the church yet. That didn't happen until Pentecost. The next dispensation will be established and populated not by external power, but by a quiet working from within by God. Think about it. Most kingdoms of the world are done by external force, by power. Example, what's going on over in Ukraine right now. Okay, you have an external force trying to impose their will on another people. But the Spirit of God, the spiritual kingdom, is done internally through the yet quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. Totally different concept for mankind. Totally different concept. It's coming from within people, changing us from the inside out. And each one of us is given unique spiritual gifts in that process to be used for the whole body. He likens the church in this dispensation in which we live to a body. You know, some of us might be hands, some of us might be feet, some of us might be noses, you know. Mouth, right? I mean, every part's necessary though, right? And so it is in the spiritual body, you know. Everybody has spiritual gifts that all working together for the benefit of the body itself. So that's the new way that things are working. But as I said at the beginning, there are people, because leaven has had negative connotations in the Word of God, in a number of instances it's used as a reference to sin polluting something, okay? So there's a number of people that look at this parable and they, right when they hear the word leaven, they say, uh-oh, he must be talking about all the evil that's going to be present in the new kingdom. Just do a Google search and look at the commentaries, and you will find there are those out there that are saying that he's talking about the kingdom is going to be populated with evil. That's out there. But I think it's all based on understanding what leaven does. When you understand what leaven does, how it expands and can't be stopped, and it quietly, you don't hear it, see it, or doing anything, I think that's a picture of good. You know, especially when it says here, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. It's making a comparison. So if you think the leaven is evil, is that then saying that the kingdom of heaven is evil? No. No. So you got to, you know, Bill's talked about, you know, the English language, any language is important. You can understand the use of words.
Right.
Yeah.
If he said the world is like heaven, then yes.
Yeah, exactly.
The kingdom of heaven is
right.
Not.
Right, exactly.
And then you have to go back to the original language that this was written in to help understand too, because when you translate something, you can lose ideas and when you translate from one language to another.
Totally.
Because some words, like some of the people that do translations, they have a hard time getting some of the words that they need to get across because they don't have that word in that language.
That's right.
So they have to figure out, because one time somebody was translating and they couldn't do that, and then somebody was doing something that that was what it meant. And they ask them, what is that word? And then they use that word for what they needed to get across, and those people understood what it meant.
Oh, that's absolutely true. You know, when you look at the three languages used in the Word of God originally, you know, you got Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, you know, and all of those have been translated over time for us into English, you know, but it's also translated into many other languages out there, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah. And if you really want to do a true study, like you're saying, you really need to go back and look at the original, right? Which requires a lot more work on your part, doesn't it?
Right.
I think Bill got into some of this when you were going through your studies, didn't you?
Yeah, for sure.
Like the original language, and also how the language has changed. Even the English has changed over time. You read things back. Shakespeare was written in English, but English today is different than what Shakespeare.
That's enough.
It is kind of important just to, you know, acknowledge that the translators into the English language have done a fantastic job.
Oh yeah, you can. Right. It's trustworthy.
The KJV,
yep.
Right.
You can.
Extremely trustworthy.
Yep.
The gospel's intact and.
Right.
All those translations.
And you can bet your life on it.
But right. it's a lot of work, but it's easier now than it was a long time ago because of all the...
Well, today, nobody has any excuse. I mean, you go on Blue Letter Bible, a whole host of free applications, and they'll even explain it for you.
In the original language, you mean?
In the original language. Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic. It's amazing.
Well, right, I can't do that, but I do have a Living Bible, and that just... lays it out.
That's like a paraphrase.
Yeah, that's more of a paraphrase. That's not a literal word for word translation.
No, but it makes.
Yeah.
No,
makes
I'm not saying it doesn't.
Right.
You know, it makes it understandable. Yes.
Yeah. Galatians 5:9. I just looked it up. It says a little leaven. Leaven
can spoil.
Lump.
Can spoil it. But now. Leaven. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Leaven. But see, that's a negative connotation there, right?
Right.
And that's why some people, when they look at this and say, this has got to be negative because that's negative. But you got to take each verse in context and see what's being discussed there.
And also,
I mean, I can give you more where that's referred to.
All right.
But I think the proper interpretation here is to look at not only where does this parable sit, like it comes right after the mustard seed.
Right.
Okay. So he's elaborating on that. And he's talking about a positive thing here, you know. That's why I started off by saying, if you understand what leaven does, then I think you're going to understand what this parable is all about.
Also, too, you need not to take a verse out of context. You need to look at what's before and after.
Yep,
and
that's
he
just
said, like the mustard seed comes just before this.
Yep.
So he's just elaborating because he said another parable he spoke. See, so he's doing the same idea, but in a different way.
Exactly. He's elaborating on it. He's expanding on what he just said. I totally agree. And he had already talked about evil prior to that. If you looked at parable just one prior to that, where he talked about the wheat and the tares.
Right.
That's where he was talking about the evil, you know. And then he moved on from that, like you said, and he started getting into the mustard seed. And then he expanded it more, you know, when he talked about this parable. Right? So, when you first read it, it's like, though, you know, what in the world, what is the spiritual message that has to do with leaven? You know what I mean? You could just read through these things quickly, and they're not going to mean anything to you. You know, like Bill one time in one of his messages said, the Bible requires study. It really does. You just can't flip through it, you know, and hope that it's going to somehow through osmosis just go, pew! You know, it requires study. Right?
Wouldn't it be nice, though?
Wouldn't it, though?
Put it underneath your pillow and buy osmosis.
Woo! Wake up a Bible scholar.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, some students probably wish they could do that with their other studies, too.
Yeah. Well, you guys with doctor's degrees, I think it took a little study and hard work on your part, didn't it?
Just
a little. Yeah. Something about a doctoral thesis that has to be done. Yeah. Yeah.
Bob, your story in the beginning, I've been racking my brain and I just figured it out, thanks to Google, reminded me of experiences I've had where friends, family have handed me a baggie full of this mushy, gushy, like, I don't know. Yeah, substance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it had a recipe on it, and you had to add your own flour, basically, and then let it rise, and then you could make bread, but you were to keep
part of that,
part of it, and pass it on to five other people.
There you go.
So similar to a chain letter.
Yeah.
They've come up with this chain bread idea.
Yeah.
It's called Amish friendship bread.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Amish use that. They use that a lot.
So you know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I've done it for years and I couldn't think of it. But now that you shared the history, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it harkens back all the way to Jewish tradition.
Yeah, all the way back to Exodus when
So that was pretty neat.
Because it was.
But we have a friendship cake.
Yeah.
It was the Herman yeast.
It
had fruit in it.
And, oh, I didn't get the cake batter. That
would have
been nice.
Yeah, but Valerie's talking about the actual yeast is being passed on.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking about it. I didn't know because it's a starter, it is passed on to everybody.
Yep. But see how it all this fits together to understanding what's going on in one verse. You know? One verse.
And a real time answer. Once again, and it just blows my mind that last week Bob unfortunately was sick, and the Lord did all that tonight. Again, my message fits right in.
Really? What do you?
And it's like, man, and I'm sure Keith today in your message, I'm sure he's going to touch on somewhere if you have communion today.
Yeah,
it like makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. Just
and,
but you know what, Bill?
Wait
a second, one thing. Okay. That happens so many times. You
almost
know,
every time.
Yeah,
amazing.
I know.
Yeah.
Right,
and
you were saying.
Children's Church today. I started a couple weeks ago doing some Easter lessons, and today I'm doing the Last Supper.
Wow.
Where the Supper.
Okay, wait one second. Yeah. Mr. Cook has something to say. But
I've been through this parable a lot of times. I've never heard it talk about that.
So I hope that's a good thing.
Well, maybe so. Would it be so wrong to think of it in the opposite direction, in the sense that it was sin?
Well, how would you interpret that? If you think this is sin, how is the kingdom of heaven like sin then?
He would have this tremendous. I'm not making an argument here. I'm telling you where I've had some pretty good teaching in my life, and that the notion that yeast is taught as good in Scripture is kind of contradictory. Okay, so you come from it from that point of view. Normally, a subject through Scripture is consistent. Look at one particular thing and you think you apply it all the way through. So the application on, I'm looking at the Scofield Bible, is commentary, and it's the opposite. It's that yeast is never
positive.
Good.
Right.
So there's no question in my mind, as you explained, it could conceivably be that. I'm not making the point, but understand that there's a lot of good.
Oh,
good theologians
that feel the other way. And that's mainly why I brought it up. Because for those of you that...
And would it be so wrong to come to the other conclusion?
I don't think it would be wrong. I just don't think it fits into Scripture as good as the explanation that I just gave you.
But
I think that fits more.
What you're not going to say, you're not going to be dogmatic about it in the sense that couldn't be the other way.
And that's why I brought it up.
Okay.
If I totally ignored it, then you could say I was being dogmatic.
So, I like your exploration.
Yeah.
But it's the first time I've ever heard.
Pastor, did you have any thoughts on this matter?
In general, I've heard it lots of different ways. I completely agree with your assessment.
I think, you know, when I studied this, you know, the first time I started studying it, I started looking at it from that point of view because of my familiarity with how negative, you know, leaven has been approaching the Word of God. But the more I studied it and the more I saw how things were flowing here, you know, then I started leaning definitely toward the positive application of yeast.
More.
And I thought it really felt more consistent with what Jesus, God, was trying to make a point here. Rather, he wasn't trying to make a point of negativity here, because he had just gone through that with the tares and the wheat. And that, then he went to the mustard seed, which was a positive thing. And I think he was, like somebody over here said, he was elaborating on it. He was making it even more positive. And this is all considered a mystery, because it wasn't revealed in the Old Testament. You know, this is new, what he was bringing in here. He was bringing in something new to these people, and that's one of the reasons he was meeting so much resistance. It's like, what? What are you talking about? You're changing everything. Yeah.
Well, he changed all the Pharisees. The Pharisees were so much on tradition and all these rules and stuff that they had that weren't there, and Christ was saying, nah, you're wrong.
Yeah. But remember, they themselves brought it on, because he offered them the literal, you know, kingdom where he himself would rule, but they totally denied him. Remember? He said, I'm here. It's yours. Do you want me? No.
No. Because
okay. Well, I'm still bringing in a kingdom, but unfortunately, you guys are going to be a minor part of it. Now it's going to the Gentiles.
And that's where I think this parable is more so pointing, is Jesus is using it as a symbol that, yes, in the Mosaic law, leaven was a symbol, could be a symbol of evil, sin.
Yep.
But now that Christ has come and he's going to do the work that he knew he was going to do, this is now the old is passing on to the new.
That's what
I just totally agree with what you just mentioned.
Yeah, now you know you're free to interpret. You know, what's the Word of God say? You know, was it Berea, the Church of Berea? He said they studied these things daily to see if they were so.
Right.
Yeah. So if there's a question in your mind, guess what you got to do? Yep, you need to go back and you need to dig into it and convince yourself one way or another, or you get to the point where you say, okay, it's not clear. I have a few of those verses, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, well, some of it we won't know until we get to heaven.
And we get to the other side.
Right.
Yep. Well, I took one verse and went a whole 40 minutes, right?
Yeah. We're going to make sure Carl knows.
Yeah, pass the word on to him, right? Okay, well, I hope you got something good out of that.
Absolutely.
All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to the pastor. Father God, we just thank you once again for this morning, and we just pray that this word found its way into our hearts and that we got to know your heart better. So may you bless the rest of this day. Be with the pastor as he brings forth your word in the main service, Lord, and may that find a place in our hearts as well. So we give it all to you, and we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.